بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our third session, reading from منهج يومي لطالب العلم, a daily routine for the seeker of knowledge by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen رحمه الله, and the commentary of Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr hafidhahumullah. Tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to be reading from the second point of the first of four sections of this advice. We're going to be reading from the second point, which is on page 27 of the Arabic text, and on page 23, the beginning of page 23 of the English translation. Before we do that, before we start to read the second point from the first of four areas that this advice is divided into, we're going to look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number two. Yes. Where's my study guide for number two? Okay. The first question from the topics that we discussed last week is: explain the first advice mentioned by the author, rahimahullah, under the division of one's manhaj with Allah. Keeping in mind that the author has divided this advice into four areas: the manhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the manhaj with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the manhaj in terms of one's daily acts of worship other than the obligatory duties, and finally the fourth section is the manhaj in seeking knowledge, the path in seeking knowledge. So the first section is the manhaj with Allah. It is also divided into four points. Last week we discussed the first of those four points. Last week we discussed the first point, and this week inshallah we're going to inshallah cover the second, third, and fourth point from the first section, the manhaj with Allah. So this question is: what is the first advice from the first section, the manhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, Talib. Okay, being diligent, a person being diligent and he actively seeking to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness all the time. Anybody want to add to that anything? Naam, Ahmed.
Reflecting on the fact that Allah owns everything.
Reflecting on the fact that Allah owns everything. Naam, also. Reflecting upon the signs of Allah, the ayat of Allah in the creation, and the ayat of Allah, yani al-ayat al-shara'iyya, in the revelation. Naam, the first point, the first advice is the Shaykh is saying in summary that a person should strive and make an effort to always, in their relationship with Allah, always be conscious, calling to the forefront of their mind the greatness, the azama, the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is by reflecting upon the creation of Allah. Yani reflecting upon the signs of Allah in the creation and the signs of Allah in the revelation. This is what will enable a person to be constantly conscious and aware of the of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reflecting upon his signs. The second question: discuss the two divisions of ayat or signs of Allah, the two divisions of signs of Allah mentioned by the author rahimahullah in this first advice. Naam, Abdul Wali. Ayat kawniyya and ayat shara'iyya. Somebody else tell us, what are ayat kawniyya and what are ayat shari'a? Somebody else. Naam.
Ayat kawniyya is the signs of creation in the heavens and the earth.
Naam. The ayat kawniyya are the signs of Allah in the qawn, yani in the universe, yani his, what he created, the creation of Allah, yani what he has created in the heavens and earth. Naam. And the ayat shari'a, somebody else. Ayat shari'a, naam, Ahmed. Ahmed, okay. Where's Adam at? Help me. Okay, now I won't get confused. I get these two guys together.
The ayat about laws and legislation.
The ayat about laws and legislation, yani the signs of Allah in the revelation and that which He sent the prophets and messengers with. Now, the third question, discuss the hadith, the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ upon awakening from sleep. And this is from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. What was the guidance of the Prophet? Naam Muhammad. Hold on, let me just interrupt you just for one. Please listen to this answer. This is very important. If you didn't know the answer to this question or you weren't here, you need to hear this because this is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he used to do and what we need to be doing. Now,
He would recite the two ayahs from Ali Imran.
Okay, he would recite the ayahs from Ali Imran, from the end of Ali Imran, from ayah 190 to the end of the surah, 200. Now. Now, beginning with Inna fi khalq al-samawati wal-ard. Now, what else? Anybody add to that? What did he used to do? Recite those ayats. Now. Okay, he used to wipe his face. Wipe the sleep from his face. Now, what else? Now.
He used to look up to the stars.
He used to look up to the sky. He used to look up to the sky and recite these ayat, yani about the creation of the heavens and earth. What else? Now. Okay, he would recite the ayat before he would get up and make wudu. Naam. He would recite the shaykh, this is not mentioned in the hadith, but no doubt there's dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to recite upon awakening. Naam. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'd, and other than that. Naam. What else? Okay, so he recited the ayat, he got up, he recited the ayat, and what else? Naam.
Thailand.
Taifa. Huh? Okay, he will make salat. Before he made salat, what? Wudu. He will make wudu, and along with making wudu, he used to do what? What about siwak? Aywa. Somebody back there is signaling. MashaAllah, siwak. He would brush his teeth with the siwak, naam, the miswak. And then he would pray. What would he pray? Two rakats? Huh? He got up. He made wudu, he brushed his teeth, and he prayed. What prayer is he praying now? Tahajjud. How many rak'ahs did he pray? 11 rak'ah. Or more or less. Yani in the hadith of Aisha, 11 rak'ah. In the hadith of Ibn Abbas, other narration, 13 rak'ah. He would pray, yani the tahajjud prayer. Naam. And then what? And then what? In the hadith, what else did it mention after that? That's what he used to do. After that, what happens in the morning when the fajr comes? Okay, when it came time for Fajr, Bilal would call the adhan, radiallahu anhu. And when he called the adhan, he would do what? He would pray two rak'ah, and then he would go out, yani, leave his apartment and go into the masjid and lead the people in the morning prayer. This hadith is a very important hadith. A person needs to look at it. All of the narrations, I mentioned last week that the narration that is referred to in the book is the first of four narrations. It's the first of four narrations, and it's good that a person go back and look at those narrations and read them and understand them and let's try to implement them as best we can. So I don't want to take too much time with this questionnaire study guide because we have a little bit of time, you know, before the adhan for Isha. Fourth question, memorize the first two ayat of Surah Ali Imran, 190 and 191, from these final ayat of Ali Imran and one point of benefit from them. Okay, and hopefully somebody has memorized these ayat. We're not going to take the time to listen to them now, but who has memorized those two ayats? MashaAllah. Good, a good portion, mashallah. Mention one benefit that are from those ayat. One of the benefits that the Shaykh mentioned, from these ayat. Now, yani that's mentioned in the ayat that the ulul albab that they remember Allah, yani standing and sitting and lying on their side. Type, that's a benefit, no doubt. Now. This is an indirect, yani indication. It's a suggestion, an encouragement that we reflect upon the signs of Allah. That this reflection is a type of worship, and this is an encouragement. In these ayats is an encouragement, an urging, yani that we reflect upon the signs of Allah. One other point that the Shaykh mentioned, Naam. Okay, so a person who fills their mind with the reflection and contemplation over the signs of Allah will escape from having their mind occupied with Yani the whisperings of shaitan and the yani things that people are thinking about that are useless and of no benefit, yani that do not yani that we should yani try to escape from. One other benefit that the Shaykh mentioned from these ayats, naam. Okay, I don't know, did he mention that? Or that's just a point that you're giving to us, mashallah. No problem, mashallah. Jazakallah khair. Yani that a person, this helps to relieve a person from doubts, yani by reflecting upon the creation of the heavens and earth. The Shaykh said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, yani, exclusively that this is a benefit for certain people. He mentioned this is a benefit for the ulul albab. And that is because they are the people who would benefit. Because they are the people who reflect, who think about, not who don't just look at the creation with their eyesight, but they reflect, they think about, yani, the benefits and the meaning and the purpose of those signs, so they benefit from them. So this is also a point that is of importance, that a person needs to be, yani, thinking about what is intended, what is the purpose, the objective, and what can we understand and derive from the reflecting upon the signs of Allah, the people who benefit from them, are the people of understanding, the ulul albab, because they actually think about. They're not just walking through the streets, looking at the creation and not paying attention that it has some purpose or objective. These are some of the points that we talked about last week. Alhamdulillah, tonight, inshallah, we're going to continue with the first of four sections, the manhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that manhaj, as I mentioned already, there are four points of advice that the Shaykh has given. Last week, we covered the first of them. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to try to cover what remains from them. And the first point being that a person in their relationship with Allah should always be calling to mind, having in the forefront of their mind, the yani greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is by reflecting upon the greatness of His creation, which shows His greatness and His power and His wisdom and His mercy and His knowledge and so on. And we can see indications of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's perfection and His greatness and His magnificence and His power, yani if we look at the creation. The second point that the Shaykh mentions, and I'm just going to mention in brief as we go through it just for an outline so that we have a good clear vision of what we're looking at. In the manhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh mentions always trying to be calling to mind the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he mentions, and that a person has to strive and make an effort and be diligent in seeking to fill their hearts. Everyone should try to fill their heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third point, to fill one's heart with the ta'zeem, the exaltation and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth point, that a person should strive to make sure that their worship, yani, is mukhlisan. Yani, that a person is mukhlis, is sincere, worshipping Allah alone, for the sake of Allah alone. They worship, and that they are dependent and reliant upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all situations and circumstances. That a person has ikhlas in all of their worship, and that they are dependent upon Allah in every situation or circumstance. These are the four points that the Shaykh mentioned. If a person can just remember those four points, that these are things that we need to be doing in our relationship with Allah all the time, every day, recognizing, acknowledging, calling to mind the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing whatever we can to fill our hearts with love of Allah, so that there's nothing more beloved to us than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Filling our hearts with ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that there's nothing in our hearts greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then trying to make all of our worship sincere for Him, and to be dependent and reliant upon Allah in every situation and circumstance, and not to be dependent on anyone or anything other than Allah. And may Allah yani give us success in implementing these things in our lives immediately. Yani whatever we have fallen short that we have not been yani aware of or acting upon, then we need to begin to act upon it immediately without delay. So on page top of page 23 of the English translation, on page 37, the end of yani the text on page 37, the Shaykh says, "Al-amr al-thani." Qala rahimahullah, an yakuna. I'm sorry. 27. Yeah, mashallah. Need to, it's better pair of glasses. Page 27. Jazakallah khair. The Shaykh says, "Al-amr al-thani." Qala rahimahullah, an yakuna qalbuka مَمْلُوءًا بِمَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لِمَا يَغْذُوكَ بِهِ مِنَ النِّعْمِ وَيَدْفَعُ عَنْكَ مِنَ النِّقَمِ وَلَا سِيَمَ نِقْمَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ نِعْمَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَكُونُ أَحَبَّ شَيْءٍ إِلَيْكَ. Yani the Shaykh, he says the second matter, yani from the four points from the manhaj with Allah, the Shaykh rahimahullah says that your heart be filled with the love of Allah the Most High. And the second matter is that your heart be filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever we understand from whatever the Shaykh says here in the commentary on it, what is important is just remember that our hearts should be filled with love of Allah. And that is the thing that should fill our hearts. Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is critically important, that a Muslim's heart is filled with love of Allah. Yani what better thing can our heart be filled with than the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh says that your heart be filled with the love of Allah, the Most High. لِمَا يَغْذُوكَ بِهِ مِنَ النِّعْمِ وَيَدْفَعُ عَنْكَ مِنَ النِّقْمِ. Yani our heart should be filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to the blessings, bounties and favors that He has nurtured us with. And all of the blessings, bounties and favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly, continuously nurtures us with. If a person reflects upon this, all the time we are benefiting, enjoying the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be a means to fill our heart with love of Allah, the one who has given us all of this. وَيَدْفَعْ عَنْكَ مِنَ النِّقَمِ. And due to the fact, yani of all of the difficulties and hardships and adversities that Allah has removed from us, that He has repulsed from us, that He has protected us from. Every type of hardship and difficulty that Allah has protected us from is a reason then for us to remember yani our need for. And Allah's right that we love Him more than anyone or anything else. The Shaykh says, filling our heart with the love of Allah, especially because of the ni'mah of Islam wal istiqamati alayhi. Especially, yani from all the blessings and bounties and favors of Allah, the greatest of them that should fill our heart with love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ni'mah of Islam. And either His guidance to Islam. The ni'mah of Islam and Iman and Tawheed and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The correct aqeedah and righteous actions. The ni'mah of Islam. This is the greatest thing that should be a reason for filling our heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ni'mah of Islam and al-istiqamah alayhi. And being upright and steadfast upon this Islam. And there are lots of people who are Muslims, who identify themselves as Muslims, but they are not yani steadfast. They are not upright upon the Islam. Yani they practice it here and there and now and then, yani to whatever extent yani they do. But being upright upon Islam, being steadfast upon it, this is a tremendous ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these things, and especially Islam, these are the things due to which a person's heart may be filled with love of Allah until the Shaykh says, حَتَّى يَكُونُ أَحَبَّ شَيْءٍ إِلَيْكَ. Until he, and again I'm going to refer back to the translation here. The translation is suggesting that the meaning here is until love becomes, yani, until this yani love of Allah in the heart becomes the most beloved to you. The meaning here is until he, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becomes the most beloved to you. That he becomes more beloved to you than anyone and anything in our lives. So, Shaykh Abdul Razak, in his commentary concerning this second point, he says, هذا أمر عظيم ينبغي على طالب العلم والمسلم عموما أن يعني به أن يعمر قلبه بمحبة الله. Yani this is a great and important matter, which it is incumbent and befitting of the seeker of knowledge and Muslims in general, the seeker of knowledge who's conscious of the importance of seeking knowledge, and just Muslims in general. Even if a person doesn't consider themselves a seeker of knowledge or talibul ilm or anything like that, every single Muslim, yani it is incumbent upon every Muslim to yani pay attention yani to this matter and to fill their heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَثَمَّةً أُمُورٌ تُعِينُكَ عَلَى إِمَارَةِ قَلْبِكَ بِهَذِهِ الْمَحَبَّةِ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. He said, and then there are affairs. There are things which can help you to fill your heart with this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are things that will help you, that will aid you, that will assist you in filling your heart with the love of Allah. And this is important. Yani that, okay, we are told to fill our hearts with the love of Allah. How do we do it? Shaykh says, there are things that can help you to fill your heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ashara rahimahullah ila shay'in minha. And the author, that is Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, has pointed to some of that. Some of those things that can help us to fill our heart with the love of Allah. Where he said, لِمَا يَغْذُوكَ بِهِ مِنَ النِّعْمِ. Yani, due to the blessings and bounties and favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has nourished us with. He said, look at the favors of Allah upon you. Al-Mutawaliyah wa alaihi al-Mutataliyah wa atayahu al-Mutanawiyah. Yani, look at, meaning consider, think about, yani, the blessings and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, yani, the ni'm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are, yani, successive, one coming after another. And the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are consecutive. And the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are of various different types. All different types of gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us. And then here the Shaykh mentions several matters. He says, from amongst these bounties and blessings and favors and gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are ongoing, that are consistent and consecutive, being given to us all the time of various types, he says, look at, for example, sihatika, yani your good health, وَفِي عَافِيَتِكَ and your well-being, وَفِي مَالِكَ and your wealth, وَفِي مَسْكَنِكَ and your homes, وَمَلْبَسِكَ and your clothing, وَطَعَامِكَ وَشَرَابِكَ and your food and drink, وَوَلَدِكَ and your children, وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ and other than that. Here the Shaykh just mentions some examples of things that are from the bounties and blessings and favors of Allah, including good health and well-being, and a person's wealth, and their home, and their clothing and food and drink, and their children and other than that. Perhaps some of you may remember when we were reading from the supplications of the believers that are mentioned in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the supplication, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابِنَا. And Shaykh Abdul Razak, in his commentary on that supplication, he mentions that he gathered some of the sayings of the scholars of tafsir concerning this ayat. Concerning what? Yani, the good things of this world. And he mentioned 9 things. And some of what he mentioned is what's mentioned here, and some of it is not mentioned here. From amongst those 9 things that he mentioned. And these are also from the bounties and favors and blessings of Allah that will help a person, if they're conscious of it, to fill their heart with the love of Allah. From amongst the things that he mentioned, I think, first and foremost, al-afiyah, well-being, which is mentioned here. But he also mentioned al-amna, wa-raha, that a person, yani, from the blessings of Allah, is the person is living in a condition of safety and security and comfort. And he also mentioned, yani, rizq, a person's provisions that are lawful and plentiful. Not everybody, yani, is enjoying that blessing. If a person is enjoying it, it is a ni'mah from Allah that you have to be thankful for. And it's a reason for you to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also mentioned having a spacious house. But even if a person doesn't have a spacious house, who has a house, yani, should recognize that this is a ni'mah from Allah. People are homeless. People don't have a place to live. We can look around the world and we don't have to look far. And we can see, yani, the condition of other people and their conditions. This is a ni'mah from Allah if a person has a home, a house, a place to live. He also mentioned, yani, from the important things, is a righteous spouse. A righteous spouse. There are lots of people who don't have a spouse. And there are people who do have a spouse, but they may not be righteous. They might not even be a Muslim. A person who has a righteous spouse, this is a ni'mah from Allah. Brothers, appreciate your wives. If you have a Muslim wife, you should be thankful, extremely thankful to Allah. And that goes for the sisters as well. Be thankful for your spouse. A righteous spouse. A child that is coolness of your eyes. And that are pleasing to you because they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a ni'mah from Allah. We have seen some of our children that are totally out of control. That have ran away from Islam. Living a life of kuffar. If you have righteous children, yani, that are pleasing to your eyes because they are worshipping Allah, this is a tremendous, magnificent ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also mentioned a couple of things that I thought were really, really important that we need to pay attention to. And we talk about them a lot, but we might not think of them as a ni'mah from Allah. And from amongst them, he said, yani, al-ilm al-nafiyah and al-amal al-salih. Yani, this is a ni'mah from Allah. A person that has, yani, beneficial knowledge. Beneficial knowledge. And righteous actions. And these are some of the things that the Shaykh mentioned in the explanation of that dua in the Quran. That I thought yani can be added to what the Shaykh has mentioned here and be of some benefit to us. So the Shaykh is saying here what? That look at and reflect upon and think about the bounties and blessings and favors of Allah of various types that are unlimited and unending from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from amongst the means to help a person to fill their heart with the love of Allah. He said, فَالتَّفَكُّرْ فِي هَذِي النِّعْمِ وَهَذِي الْمِنَنْ الَّتِي تَفَضَّلَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَلَيْكَ بِهَا. He said that it is yani the reflection, contemplation, pondering over these blessings and these gifts which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. He has given to you freely, not because you earned it or entitled to it, but this is what Allah has given freely to you. And also reflecting upon yani the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repulsed or pushed away from you or protected you from yani misfortunes and evil and things that spoil yani the good things of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected us from these things, and this is a cause, or should be a cause, for a person's heart to be dedicated to, occupied with, and devoted to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and filling their heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh, he says, closing this point, he says, وَعَظَمُ النِّعْمُ الَّتِي عَنْدَمَا تَتَفَكَّرُ فِي مِنَّةِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ بِهَا يَزْدَادُ قَلْبَكَ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ نِعْمَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالتَّوْهِيدِ. That from the greatest of the blessings and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will cause you to have an increase, cause your heart to be increased in the love of Allah, when you reflect upon them, from the greatest of those blessings and bounties is the ni'mah of Islam and at-tawheed. The ni'mah of Islam and specifically at-tawheed. Yani tawheed is a part of Islam, but the ni'mah of Islam generally and tawheed and iman specifically. And here, Shaykh Abdul Razak, there's a footnote here. I'm going to look at the footnote, but first I'm going to read what the Shaykh says, and he ends this point yani with this, that the greatest of them is the ni'mah of Islam and tawheed. And he mentions the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where he says in Surah Al-Ahzab, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَقَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرُ وَالْفُسُوقُ وَالْإِسْيَانِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَالنِّعْمَةِ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Yani that, remember what the love, yani حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made iman beloved to you, and he adorned it, made it attractive in your hearts, and he caused you to have hatred for disbelief and evil, corruption and sin. These whom Allah has yani made iman beloved to them and adorned it in their hearts and made them to have hatred for disbelief and sinfulness, these are those who are rightly guided. And this is a fadl, yani fadla min Allah. Allah has done this yani freely. He has given this to us, and it's a ni'mah from Allah, and Allah is all-knowing and all-wise. Naam. Huh? Hujurat, Surah Hujurat. Naam. Okay, yeah, mashallah. Jazakallah khair. Yeah, it's a misprint here. It does say Surah Ahzab, but you're right. It's Surah Hujurat, yani 49th Surah, 7, Ayat 7 and 8. Jazakallah khair. Please feel free to help us if there's a mistake and you recognize it, don't yani let it pass by. Please, Jazakallah khair. There's also a footnote here in reference to this point, number 2, that's mentioned here. There's also the mention here of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning of which, the command of Allah, the affair of Allah, yani ata amrullah, yani the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come, meaning that it is so certain that it's going to happen, it's as though it has already happened. So don't hasten it. Don't hasten the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of all perfections, and he is high, removed from that which they associate with him. يُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَ بِالرُّوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ. Some of the scholars of Tafsir said that it means the angel of Jibril came with the revelation, عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاء مِنْ إِبَادِهِ, to whomever he wills of his worshippers, and أَنْظِرُ, to warn the people, أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاتَّقُونَ, and to warn the people that there's nothing and no one that deserves to be worshipped. Allah is saying there's no one that deserves to be worshipped except me, so observe taqwa of me. Here the Shaykh mentions the statement of Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali rahimahullah, where he says about this ayat, yani specifically about the mention of, yani the warning against shirk and the mention of yani tawheed, that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. He said, kalimat tawheed laha fadail azima, and if this word has many virtues, it's not possible to mention them in detail, to examine them in detail here, but in this ayat he said, awwalu ma adda Allah ala ibadihi min an-ni'am fi hadhihi fi surat an-ni'am allati tusamma suratu nahl. He said that this is the mention of tawheed, yani it's the first thing. In the translation it says, it's translated as though it says al-ayat al-ula, but actually it doesn't say, it says al-ayat awwalu ma, yani in this ayat the first thing of the bounties and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he mentions, his bounties and blessings upon his worshippers, the first thing that he mentions in this surah, which is the scholars refer to as surah an-ni'am, the surah of the bounties and blessings of Allah, and we know it as surah an-nahl, he said the first thing that he mentions is tawheed, is tawheed. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ إِبْنِ عَيَّيْنَ, and for this reason, يعني Sufyan ibn Uyayna رحمه الله, the great, great scholar of the people of Sunnah, and to show the greatness of Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, it has been mentioned that from amongst his students, if anybody knows the scholars of Hadith, especially scholars of Islam, they mentioned from amongst his students was Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, from the students of Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna. From amongst his students, Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi. From amongst his students is Yahya ibn Ma'in. From amongst his students is Ishaq ibn Rahway. These students of his are imams in their own right. Yani outstanding, distinguished imams of the people of Sunnah. They were his students. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah, he said, ma an'am Allah ala abd min al-ibad ni'matan a'azam min an arrafahum la ilaha illallah. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not blessed any of his worshippers, any worshipper, with any ni'mah, any blessing that's greater than the ni'mah of yani making them to know la ilaha illallah, making them acquainted with la ilaha illallah. So here, yani this is the second point, that is filling one's heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is through, yani from one angle, recognizing the bounties and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's given to us, and from another angle, looking at yani the difficulties and hardships and adversities that Allah has repulsed from us, and the greatest of the ni'mah of Allah, due to which a person's heart will be increased with love of Allah, it is the ni'mah of Islam and at-tawheed. The third matter, the Shaykh says, وَالْعَمْرَ الثَّالِثِ قَالَ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ أَنْ يَكُونَ قَلْبُكَ مَمْلُوءًا بِتَعْظِيمِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ حَتَّى يَكُونَ فِي نَفْسِكَ أَعْظَمَ شَيْءٍ. Yani that a person be diligent. Yani that a person yani strive at filling their heart with the ta'zeem of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yani that a person fill their heart with the acknowledgement, the recognition of the greatness, the exaltation and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person fills their heart with this until يَكُونُ فِي نَفْسِكَ أَعْظَمَ شَيْءٍ, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be within yourself, He is the greatest thing. There's no one, there's nothing that is greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani there's no one that's more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's no one greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ourselves, in our nafs, in our heart. Yani that Allah is the most beloved and Allah is the greatest. This is the third matter. And the Shaykh joined these two matters, the second and third matter, together. He said, بِجْتِمَاعِ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَتَعْظِيمِهِ فِي قَلْبِكَ تَسْتَقِيمُ عَلَى طَاعَتِهِ قَائِمًا بِمَا عَمَرَ بِهِ لِمَحَبَّتِكَ إِيَّاهُ تَارِكًا لِمَا نَهَى عَنْهُ لِتَعَظِيمِكَ لَهُ. Yani by combining these two things, the love of Allah the Most High and the exaltation and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart, the Shaykh said, in your heart, that in your heart, not on your tongue per se, but that which is in your heart. Yani that is where the truth of the matter is. That in your heart, yani the love of Allah is combined with the ta'zeem of Allah. By combining these two things, تَسْتَقِيمُ عَلَى يعني تستقيم على طاعته. Then you will be steadfast and upright upon obedience to him, fulfilling that which he has commanded due to your love of him, and leaving off that which he has prohibited due to your exaltation of him. Yani when a person combines these two matters, they will be upright upon obedience to Allah. Yani they will fulfill what Allah has commanded because of their love for him, and they will avoid what Allah has prohibited because of their exaltation and glorification, ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is the greatest one in their heart. Therefore they will avoid that which he has prohibited. So the Shaykh says, so a person should be diligent and eager in filling their heart with love of Allah and ta'zeem of Allah, exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَالتَّعْظِيمُ يُعِينُكَ عَلَيْهِ النَّظَرُ فِي آيَاتِ الدَّالَةِ عَلَىٰ عَظَمَةِ اللَّهِ وَكَمَالِ قُدْرَتِهِ وَكَمَالِ قُوَّتِهِ وَعَظِيمِ بَطْشِهِ وَانْتِقَامِهِ وَشَدِيدُ إِقَابِهِ. He says here that the ta'zeem of Allah, the exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the thing that can help a person to yani achieve it is that a person examines, reflects upon, looks at carefully the ayat which point to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayat that point to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that point to the perfection of his power and the perfection of his strength, and the greatness of his force and his retribution and the severity of his punishment. Yani these are from the things that will help a person to have ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will be a means of preventing them from disobedience to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these affairs, if an abd, a worshipper, reflects upon them and reflects also upon those affairs which fill the heart with love of Allah, yani these two things, reflects upon those things that fill your heart with ta'zeem of Allah and that fill your heart with love of Allah. He said, يُصْبِحُ عِنْدَهُ تَوَازٍ بِينَ الرَّجَاءُ وَالْخَوْفُ وَالرَّغْبَةُ وَالرَّحْبَةُ. Yani then a person will have a balance between hope of Allah's mercy and Allah's favor and His bounty, and fear of Allah's punishment and His displeasure. A person will be balanced between hope and fear, between desiring that which is Allah and fearing, yani desiring that which is with Allah of good and fearing, yani that which, you know, fearing His punishment. Then the Shaykh mentions in this line, yani of this meaning from Surah Al-Hijr, he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, نَبِّي عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Yani inform my worshippers that I am forgiving and merciful. Yani the scholar said, forgiving and merciful to those who repent to him and seek his forgiveness. That Allah is, yani is forgiving to those who repent and seek his forgiveness, and he is merciful to those who, yani who believe and who are obedient to him. وَأَنَّ عَذَابِ هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْعَلِيمُ. And that my punishment is a painful punishment. And this is, yani, for the disbelievers and the disobedient. Yani, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, inform my worshippers that I am forgiving and merciful. Yani, forgiving to those who repent and seek forgiveness. And merciful, yani, to those who believe and who are obedient to Him. And that His punishment is severe, yani, for the disbelievers and the disobedient. The Shaykh says, تَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ. That a person joins these two things, combines these two affairs, yani the mahabba of Allah and the ta'zeem of Allah. The mahabba of Allah and the ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, mahabbatullah, yani this is what will fill one's heart. Yani this is what should be filling one's heart, which would drive them or lead them to obedience to Him and doing that which is pleasing to Him. The love of Allah is what would cause a person to be obedient to Him and do that which is pleasing to Him. And the ta'zeem of Allah, yani, and yani ta'zeem and lahu wa ilman bi azamatihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that this having exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knowing His greatness, this is what will prevent and restrain a person from al-wuku fi ma'asihi wa ma naha tabaraka wa ta'ala ibadahu anhu. And this yani ta'zeem of Allah, recognizing Allah's greatness, recognizing Allah's yani power and his yani authority is what will restrain a person and prevent them from falling into disobedience to him and from falling into that which he has prohibited his worship is from. Yani, this third point is combined with the second point, and it is that a person should strive, should make every effort through some of the means that the Shaykh has mentioned here, and other than that, to fill the heart with love of Allah, which enables a person to be obedient to him, and fill the heart with ta'zeem of Allah, which enables a person yani to avoid yani disobedience to him. Then the Shaykh says, Al-Amr al-Rabi, the fourth matter. Allahumma sta'an. Al-Amr al-Rabi, the fourth matter, أن تكون مخلصا له جل وعلا في عباداتك متوكلا عليه في جميع أحوالك. He said that the fourth matter is that you be yani sincere, yani that you establish ikhlas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of your worship. Sincerity, ikhlas in all of your worship. متوكلا عليه في جميع أحوالك. And that a person be dependent and reliant upon Allah in all of your situations or circumstances. And in every situation or circumstance, you're relying upon Allah. And this is, he said, لِتُحَقِّقَ بِذَلِكَ مَقَامَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ from Surah Al-Fatiha. This is so that a person may achieve, so that a person may actualize and realize the station of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek help from. Yani, you alone do we worship, meaning that we worship you to the exclusion of everyone and anything else. Yani, with ikhlas, worship is purely for Allah alone. And you alone we seek help from, meaning we depend upon you, we rely upon you, we call upon you for every need, alone, no one else. This is, yani, these two things the Shaykh is saying, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, is saying, that it is these two things that will enable a person to establish this high station, the station of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, where a person has ikhlas in their worship and they are dependent upon Allah alone. He says, yani this is from the text of the advice of Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, تَسْتَحْذِرُ بِقَلْبِكَ أَنَّكَ إِنَّمَا تَكُومُ بِمَا أَمْرَ امْتِثَالًا لِأَمْرِهِ. Yani, call to mind, be conscious, make yourself consciously aware of in your heart that you are only carrying out what Allah has commanded in compliance with His command. Yani, the reason why you're doing it is because He has commanded you with it. You're not doing it for some other reason, some other benefit, or some whatever it might be reason why people do things. Rather, be conscious of the reason why I'm fulfilling this command is in compliance to the command of Allah, because it's Allah's command. وَتَتْرُكُ مَا نَهَى عَنْهُ امْتِثَالًا لِنَهْيِ. And call to mind that I'm leaving off whatever Allah has prohibited in compliance with His prohibition. Yani, what I'm doing is because Allah has commanded, and what I'm leaving is because Allah has prohibited it. He said, فَإِنَّكَ بِذَٰلِكَ تَجِدْ. This is from the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, is mentioning here. So from the benefits of a person having this consciousness, and it requires a person to make an effort. It's not just going to be there. A person has to be thinking about these things, has to be trying to call to mind these things. He said, from the benefits of this, فَإِنَّكَ بِذَٰلِكَ تَجِدُ لِلْعِبَادَةِ طَعْمًا لَا تُدْرُكُهُ مَا الْغَفْلَةِ. So by doing this, a person will find a certain sweetness, yani a satisfaction in worship that he would never be able to achieve if he were unmindful, if he was not calling to mind that the reason why I'm doing this is because Allah has commanded it, because Allah has prohibited it. Yani, there will be a ta'am, yani there will be a sweetness, there will be yani a satisfaction that a person will achieve, they will reach, that they would never be able to reach were they unmindful, if they were in ghafla of the fact that the reason why they are doing this is because Allah has commanded and Allah has prohibited. And from the benefits of this consciousness, وَتَجِدُ فِي الْأُمُورِ أَوْنًا مِنْهُ, that a person will find in their affairs help and aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يَحْصُلُ لَكَ مَعَ اعْتِمَادِ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. Yani, help and aid from Allah that you would never reach, that you would never achieve, that you would never find if you had been relying upon yourself. Yani, because I'm smart, because I'm strong, because I'm powerful, I have influence, I don't need anybody to help me. If a person relied upon themselves, they would never find this aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes because of your reliance upon Him alone. So the Shaykh, he says, فَأَنْتَ بِحَاجَتِي إِلَىٰ إِخْلَاصٍ وَتَوَكُّلٍ. These are two things that we are in need of. These two things. Yani having ikhlas, sincerity in our worship. And secondly, being reliant and dependent upon Allah alone. And he mentions from Surah Hud, فَعْبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. So worship Him, Allah alone. And rely upon Him alone. Yani ikhlas in the worship and reliance upon Allah alone. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us, be diligent, be eager in going after that which benefits you. And seek help from Allah. And be diligent, make an effort, strive for that which benefits you. And of course, the most beneficial of things, the real benefit, yani the only real benefit is the benefits that yani make the difference. And that is the benefits in your deen, the benefits, what's going to benefit you when you stand before Allah Yawm Al-Qiyamah. This is what a person should be striving for, that which really benefits. And a person works at it, they make an effort, they work hard, but then they also what? وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. They seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh closes. He closes by saying, the saying of Allah, قَوْلُهُ فِي آيَةِ الْكَرِيمِ, in this noble ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, هَذَا تَحْقِيقُ لِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The saying, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, we worship you alone, it is the actualization or the realization of the statement, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Yani that there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone. A, نَعْبُدُكَ وَلَا نَعْبُدُ غَيْرَكَ. Yani the explicit meaning of this statement is that we worship you. And the implied meaning of this statement is that we don't worship anything besides you. And that we don't worship anything besides you. مُخْلِصِينَ لَكَ الدِّينَ. Yani making this deen sincerely, purely for you alone. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ تَحْقِيقٌ لِلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا كُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Yani the statement, we seek help from you alone, it is the actualization. Yani it's not theory, but it's the implementation, the actualization, the realization of there's no power and no strength except with Allah. And Allah is the only one that makes things happen. So therefore, this statement, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, it is كلمة الاستعانة. It is like, لا إله إلا الله is كلمة التوحيد. This is كلمة الاستعانة. It's the word that embodies the meaning of seeking help from Allah alone. He said, إياك نعبد أو إياك نستعين, أي نستعين بك ولا نستعين بغيرك. Yani the meaning here again, the explicit meaning is we seek help from you. And the implied meaning is we do not seek help from anyone other than you. And this is very important. Yani these meanings are very important because they give yani an understanding of something that's not necessarily there on the surface. Yani we worship you. It's possible that you worship Allah and you worship something along with Allah. But the meaning here is not just that we worship you, but we worship you and we don't worship anything besides you. And this is the meaning that comes from the structure of the sentence, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Yani that the maf'ul is coming before the yani amil, the amil. And this gives us a meaning that this worship is exclusively for Allah alone. And this seeking help is exclusively for Allah alone. The Shaykh, he says, وَبِهَذَيْنِ الْأَمْرَيْنِ إِخْلَاصٌ لِلْعِبَادِ إِخْلَاصَ الْعِبَادِ لِلَّهِ وَإِخْلَاصَ الْعِسْتِيَانَ بِهِ جَلَّ فِي أُولَاهُ يَسْتَقِيمُ لِلْمَرْءِ عِلْمُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ وَتَسْتَقِيمُ حَيَاتُهُ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ جَلَّ فِي أُولَاهُ. Yani he said, with these two affairs, yani this is the fourth matter from yani the manhaj with Allah, with these two affairs, making the worship exclusively, sincerely for Allah alone, and seeking help, yani having ikhlas and seeking help from Allah alone, it is from these two matters that a person's knowledge and their actions will be upright. Their knowledge and their actions will be upright. And their whole life will be upright upon obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla. I don't know if I skipped the footnote. I probably did, but in any case, we're just going to close with this. From the footnotes here and what we just read, Shaykh al-Islam, it is mentioned that Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, كَثِيرًا مَا كُنْتُ أَسْمَعُ Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah قَدَّسَ اللَّهُ رُوحَهُ يَقُولُ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ تَدْفَعُ الرِّيَاءُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ تَدْفَعُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ in Madarij al-Salikin. He said that so many times I heard Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah sanctify his soul, he said that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, this statement, you alone we worship, repulses الرِّيَاءُ, ostentation. Yani a person recognizes openly that we're worshipping you alone. It is the opposite. Yani riyah is the opposite of ikhlas. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ تَدْفَعُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ, that a person saying we seek help from Allah alone, it repulses yani pride and arrogance, because the person knows that they need help from Allah and from Allah alone. And he also mentions in the footnote that Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, فَإِنَّ الْعَارِفِينَ كُلُّهُمْ مُجْمِعُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ التَّوْفِيقِ and لَا يَقِلَكَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ, that yani it is agreed upon by the people who know that التوفيق yani success in life, in this world and the next, success is in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not leave you to rely upon yourself. Success is in that Allah doesn't leave you to rely upon yourself. And al-khudlan, yani that a person will be left on their own to destruction, it is that Allah leaves you to rely upon yourself. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grants success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, record and reward all of our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us the tawfiq, yani success, to remain steadfast upon a sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant yani recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, fill their graves with light and make them spacious, and protect them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire, and admit them into paradise, and that He grant comfort and relief for the Muslims who are oppressed and who are being murdered and who are being slaughtered in Palestine and in other lands of the Muslims and the lands of the Kufar, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant protection to them from Himself, that He protect them from before Him, from before them and from behind them, and from their right and from their left, and from above them and from below them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the one yani who has decreed what He has decreed, and He is the one who can grant relief. We ask Him to grant relief yani to the Muslims yani who are being tortured, who are being slaughtered, who are being murdered, who are being oppressed, especially in Palestine and in other lands of the Muslims and the lands of the disbelievers. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika astaghfiruka. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.